A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Three and one, 2-0 in the AFC South, and currently the AFC's 2 seed. Your Houston Texans, after a 24-20 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday at NRG Stadium. Hello, it is Gallant and George on a Monday, September 30th of 2024. There was some good in this game, Joe. And I feel like we should hit the good because I don't know how long I'm going to be able to stick with the good.
I mean, show's over, right? You hit all the big stuff. You know, 2 seed in the AFC, 3-1. The vibes are good.
I mean.
Oh, they're not?
They are to a degree.
No, but they're not, Paul. And it's bizarre. I've never experienced this in my life.
No, you have because this is
no.
Classic Texans fandom.
3-1 and it feels this bleh.
I walked into the locker room after yesterday's game, and not a lot of buzz. Now, is that because they realized that they pulled one out of their ass? Probably. And hey, when you got a quarterback as good as CJ Stroud and a wide receiver as good as Nico Collins, you're going to be able to do that from time to time. But it left a lot to be desired. And I'm just going to say the exact same thing that I said after they beat the Colts week one. We're holding this team to a higher standard because of all the hype that they had going into the year. And if they had gone up against a more accurate quarterback, they would have lost. I understand that, hey, quarterbacks miss throws in the NFL all the time. All I'm trying to say is Anthony Richardson missed a ton of throws in week one. And Trevor Lawrence, or the husk formerly known as Trevor Lawrence, that guy missed at least 6, including 2 easy touchdowns in this one.
I mean, they're layups. I mean, Paul, I think there's a fair argument that if they played 4 accurate, above-average quarterbacks, they're 0-4.
I don't know what Caleb Williams would have been able to do in that game. I feel like Williams was running for his life.
Yeah.
There was no chance of the Bears winning that game. I think, honestly, a lot of teams would have struggled against the Texans that game. That might be more about the Bears than it is about the Texans. But, we saw Sam Darnold do what he did. Darnold leads the NFL in touchdown passes.
Which is remarkable. I guess I felt a little bit better about last week watching the Vikings-Packers game.
Yeah, they're up 28-0 early in that game. They hung on. It was a 6-point game with 10 minutes to go, but the Vikings continue to look impressive. One of 2 unbeaten left in the NFL.
But I think you're right. I mean, look, Trevor Lawrence was bad for the most part yesterday. He had some nice throws in the game, and you know, they clearly had a game plan, and that game plan was to attack Jalen Petrie as much as possible with Christian Kirk on him. Whenever they got that matchup, the ball was going there. We saw it the first drive. I think Kirk had 4 targets, and Petrie was covering him on 3 of them. And then if Trevor Lawrence, you're right, if he was better in this game, the Texans lose. They had a lot of the same mistakes. We didn't see that growth in some of the areas that we were talking about towards the end of last week that we were hoping to see change. Things that are fixable didn't get fixed. But as you said, thank goodness they have a top 5 quarterback in the NFL and an elite wide receiver in Nico Collins. Because, again, all day long, they're in 3rd and 7 and longer.
Yeah.
And CJ Stroud, unlike last week, is just moving the ball in chunks in those situations and just playing Superman in this game.
And because he's playing like Superman, you do see that there is potential this year. And they are the 2 seed. It is a very hard league. The Buffalo Bills go from Monday night looking like the best team in the AFC to looking like frauds last night, where Derrick Henry's going back in time and running for nearly 200 yards on them. Week to week, things do change. But I just want us all to be elitists when it comes to following this team. And maybe this is just going to be my hill to die on because I am somebody who, having grown up watching the Patriots, I am spoiled. And like Tom Brady clapping back at Baker Mayfield, I want wins. I want Super Bowls. I demand perfection. This is probably why I'm going to be single my entire life. I'm okay with that. I want more out of this team. They are capable of more. When they do not shoot themselves in the foot, this is a team that can move the ball at will, even without Tank Dell, even without Joe Mixon, even without Damian Pierce. They were purring on offense when they weren't getting penalized. The problem is they have been penalized 40 times this year, technically 42, but one was offsetting and one was declined. They have six more than any other team in the league. They had 12 for 93 yesterday, following up 11 for 88 in Minnesota, following 12 for 120 against the Bears. This is the biggest problem right now. They are a team that does not play smart, and they seem, just based off of the vibes in the locker room, where certain players not made available, I don't know what that's all about. This is some small-town BS. Sorry to go all big journal here, but when you're like that, and you wonder why people are giving you the side eye, it's because of all of the mistakes that you are making. Now, after the game, Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans had this to say when asked about some of the slop still being able to figure out how to win.
The goal for us every week is to win. There is no such thing as an ugly win to me. Like, you finish with the win because, as we know, in this league, wins are hard to come by. It doesn't matter who you play. So, man, I'm just proud to get a win. And it doesn't matter to me how we win them. Just finish with the win.
Is there such thing as an ugly win? I think there is. That was an ugly-ass win. That was ugly.
It was about as ugly as you can get.
There was 2 a.m. beer goggles. I'm thinking twice, three times, four times, and eventually say no.
Was it the point where, like, do you have a drink where it's like, hey, if I order this at 2 in the morning, I should have gone home 2 hours ago?
I'm so damn picky because I have delusional standards, and I have delusional opinion of myself. But I hold myself to this high standard that I hold the Houston Texans to. Should I? No. I should not.
But we should. We should. Not maybe not yourself, but the Texans, we should hold to this standard. Because that's what we talked about all offseason. You can't gas up a football team the way we did for an entire offseason and talk about Super Bowl contender, MVP, and then say, this team has 40 penalties through 4 weeks, and they only had 5 in week one. It's all come in the last 3 weeks. Like, if it was 5 every game, we'd be giggling about Laremy Tunsil jumping off sides and false starts. But it's so much more than that. It's really poor play. Yeah, there is a thing as ugly wins. And one thing I've heard people say, I think it's starting to become more of a thing that I've heard in NFL circles, is winning gives you time. Like, winning gives you time to fix these problems.
For sure.
But at some point, time runs out. And we need to see, from watching the Texans, some of these problems start to get fixed. And to go from have 3 weeks in a row of the exact same problems and the exact same guys.
That's what's frustrating.
And I don't know, like, everything else we talk about in football, maybe we're not, like, you know, we're not Lance. We're not these guys going on, you know, TV and X's and O's and all these different things. But we can watch football and say, I think the Texans can do this better,
yeah,
that's good. There's no solution to penalties from our perspective. It's them.
They did clean up the pre-snap penalties.
Oh.
They still just got penalized 12 times because they got called for a bunch of holdings. Kenyon Green got penalized 3 times. 7 offensive linemen penalties. You had 2 holds called on Laremy Tunsil. Laremy, I know you're a great left tackle. I know you're really good at this. What are you thinking with the red gloves? What are you thinking? Playing a team wearing white jerseys. What are you thinking? These little things
fashion
bother me. I wish more people would aspire to be the Patriots. I really do, and I'm sorry to always make it about them, but it's the greatest dynasty in the history of sports, and it was stuff like that. Little stuff like that, that was never an issue. And they seem annoyed that we're questioning them. And again, a win is a win. You take it at the end of the year. I see it on the YouTube at ESPN Houston. Donna says it was ugly, but it's a win. Michael A20 says, yes, an ugly win can make a difference at the end of the season. For sure. As Joe said a moment ago, great point. It does give you time. The Jaguars, effed. They are effed right now. There is no more time. And now all of a sudden they're lashing out. You have Doug Peterson blaming the players. Like, they're screwed. But you are in a different conversation than the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the Jacksonville Jaguars nearly pulled one off in a game where you opened it up by muffing a punt inside the 10-yard line. Oof. In a game where defensively, you were getting beat regularly. The pass rush really wasn't there. You made plays when you needed to down the stretch. Give them credit for that. But this is a game you could have lost. And I'm just going to remind them, after every single win, I appreciate the win. I'm happy about the win because it is a win. This would have really sucked if this was a loss. And it's great to see C.J. Stroud continue to show that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. But you can't keep doing this. Learn from these mistakes. Get better from these mistakes instead of repeating the same mistakes.
Yeah, and it's fun. Like the glove thing sounds funny because it's like I think it was Julian Edelman who was like kind of the maybe one of the first people to start to draw like big national attention to that when he was on his podcast. He talked about how Belichick yelled at him one time for wearing red gloves against a team with white jerseys. And now you hear it on broadcast all the time. It's just kind of become like, duh. Like, we all should have been thinking the same thing, but, like, no one did.
But Laramie wants to look cool.
Look cool in white gloves.
I mean, what, you're an offensive lineman. Why are you wearing gloves? You don't need them. You don't need gloves. You're an offensive lineman.
Yeah, something – I think Tiki Barber on the broadcast was like – he like circled – when they showed the replay of the hold, he was like, this is the problem right here. And he just circled the red gloves. And he was like, it's not even the hold. It's the red glove. And he compared it to driving a red Ferrari. And it's like, you're going to get pulled over more.
What a great point. I wish I'd heard that on the call. Good job, Tiki.
Tiki Barber was very good on
– good call yesterday? Yeah. Okay. Nice. Yeah. Look, I don't want to sound like I'm a bitter a-hole. You guys know I am, but I don't want to sound like one today, okay? I don't. I really don't. I'm happy they're 3-1, and I'm happy that we get some playoff baseball this week. There's a lot of good stuff to get into, and we're going to have some fun today. I'm just saying, there's stuff to clean up. Please clean it up, because it keeps happening.
Well, because even, like, the coaches, I can't imagine they're you know, in a meeting right now saying,
yeah,
we're not asking for a lot.
I mean, like,
asking for your first child here.
D'Amico Ryans is repeating himself over and over and over and over again. You're going to hear him repeating himself next. He is Joe. I am Paul. You got Sean Mapes behind the glass. You want to chime in, 713-780-3776 to call to text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston or on Twitch at ESPN 975. Which of those constantly repeated mistakes are you most concerned about with the Houston Texans? You'll hear D'Amico repeating himself again. First, I got to tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to double your deposit immediately. Two Monday Night Football games tonight. Monday Night Football, the NFL. They really just need to play as many games as possible every single night of the week. I should be doing a song for them. They should pay me money for that. But instead, I'm going to continue to tell you about MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. They have a new loyalty program, MyBookie Plus. The more you play, the more you win. Tiers of loyalty rewards. Hell yeah, baby. You know, on Thursday as well, you get a weekly risk-free boost. So if you bet and you win, you win. If you bet and you lose, money back. Yes. Insane. I don't know how they're doing this. I have questions, in fact. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
What a game. What a battle. Very proud of our guys. We talked last night in our team meeting just about, like, whatever it takes, whoever it takes, and however long it takes, let's just find a way to finish this first month of the season 3-1, so very proud of our guys for finishing the right way. As we know, a lot of things to clean up for us with the penalties. It's like we're trying to break the record for most penalties in the league, which we got to clean up. This is our third straight game of over 10 penalties. It's just, you know, not good enough, and we have to find the guys who want to do it right all the time and play clean football there.
A little good cop, a little bad cop. all in one clip from D'Amico Ryans, head coach of your Houston Texans, after a 24-20 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars, has Houston now at 3-1, 2-0 in the AFC South. And if the season ended today, yes, not even a quarter through the year, they would be the 2 seed in the AFC.
Well, I mean, they said, you know, break in quarters through the first quarter of the season, which that makes me sad that we're already 4 weeks into the NFL year. It's going too fast already. But, hey, they're the 2 seed. So things should be good.
One of the schools I went to, Thayer Academy, yes. As douchey looking as it sounds. In eighth grade, I got straight A's. And they had these two honor roll systems. They had the achievement honor roll, which was based off of your grades. But they also had an effort honor roll. And I got high achievement without being on any effort honor roll. And it was because I totally mailed in this one class because I was doing a play outside of school. And we had a drama class. And I was just like, I'm not doing this. I already am doing drama outside of school. This is pointless. And they got very mad about that. So they gave me like a passing grade. But they said, oh, he didn't put any effort into it. So just completely jumbled it. And right now, the Texans, high achievement, low effort.
S for satisfactory. That was our system. It was like excellent, good, satisfactory.
Something
and
like
then,
that.
Like, we have to call your parents.
Yeah.
You can't have two honor rolls. That's not okay.
If you have two honor rolls, you don't have one?
Yeah, that's all. You can't have that.
We had a similar thing. Where it was like conduct.
I'm literally like looking through a list right now to see what if the Texans are on pace. Okay? I don't think they are.
For most penalties ever?
Yeah, it looks like it's about...
There has to be a team from like the 70s that was just decapitating people.
But they wouldn't have called it back in the 70s.
True.
And this is by yardage, not by penalties itself, so it's not helping me out here. Okay. But there's some wild numbers on here, like a couple thousand yards of penalties this season. Those are definitely, you know, trying to murder people with your helmet.
So Oakland Raiders teams.
Oh, yeah, a little Jack Tatum.
Yeah, definitely. Bill Nowitzki? What's his name?
Sure.
The linebacker?
You're just making up his
name. No. That's what I'm looking for.
Romanowski.
I got the Iski, right?
Sure.
That's the first name.
Polish people are shaking their fists at you right now, you racist.
We're just, you know, a little guessing game.
D'Amico Ryans is repeating himself when it comes to the penalties. And for those who don't know, you want to hear the numbers one more time. Mother of God. We are talking 40 penalties on the year for 326 yards. Green Bay is in second place with 34. So six more than any other team in the league. D'Amico Ryans saying the same thing that I feel like I've heard him say 15 times this year after yesterday's game.
The penalties that bug me the most and we have to get off of our tape and off of our team is the mental penalties. That's the ones I can't stand and I can't go for it. Like, we have to play smart. If we want to be a good football team, you have to play the game smart. And we talk about, you know, we look at other teams around the league and we have meetings on these things and guys just have to own up to it and be man enough to stand up and just play the game the right way. A lot of them just, you know, just bonehead penalties that are, you know, it's uncalled for, right? You don't need those. They're not helping us at all. When we had positive things that happened to us, and we're going backwards. We're in field goal range, and we go backwards because of our own mistakes. So, again, seem like I'm a broken record every time I stand up here, the Texans have to get out of the Texans' way for us to be a good team.
I am so sick of hearing that. I'm so sick of hearing it. And what's making me more sick of hearing it is that D'Amico is saying it in such a calm manner. He's so calm about it. I appreciate his patience, but as someone who is an absolute loony bin person, I can't handle it. If I was saying the same thing over and over again, I would probably pull a Denny Green and slam on the podium.
Like, does he have that like in his bag and he just doesn't show it to the media? The anger?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
It, you know, he never seems to, besides excitement, like when great things are happening, he is like one of the most animated coaches we have in the NFL.
Yep.
On the sidelines. But when things are poor, like, you don't ever really see like
stoic.
You don't see, like, you know, like steam coming out of his ears ever.
And I know that he's said before that he wants to have good relationship with these guys as men and a respectful relationship. And it's more of the new way of coaching in the NFL. You don't see those Buddy Kilmer types anymore. For those who don't know, Buddy Kilmer, played by John Voight in Varsity Blues, mm-hmm. You know? Reggie Ray, you don't want none of this. Or was it Billy Bob? I forget. I'm confusing Not Another Teen Movie with Varsity Blues. Whatever the case. You get what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of fire and brimstone coaches from back in the day. Mm-hmm. And these days, you got a lot more that are like D'Amico. Part of me wants to hear him be like, what the hell, guys? What the hell? Can we get better here? Because it does keep on happening. And I don't know. I got a vibe in the locker room. Like, they're not as concerned about these penalties as we are. And maybe that's smart for them. You know, they're not getting too down about the mistakes that they're making. And they're winning this game, which ultimately is the only thing that matters. But, yeah, if it keeps on happening over and over again, like 3 weeks in a row, how has it not improved at all?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's you know, like D'Amico's saying, it's bonehead plays. Like, yeah. It's not, you know, this isn't a college football game and you've got a good hit that gets called a targeting and it costs you a game. Like, this isn't, you know, a ticky-tack pass interference penalty on Derek Stingley Jr. It's the same thing. It's your offensive line that is jumping as having false starts. They're having untimely holding penalties. Oh, and they're also pretty terrible, too.
For what they're getting paid, don't disagree.
Yeah, like it's not just that they're – because that's why it all kind of compounds into one thing where it's not just that they have a lot of penalties. It's that there's moments in this game where it feels like C.J. Stroud is trying to get into a 3 or 5-step drop, and he has the ball, and within a half a second, there's three guys.
It's really proving how awesome he is.
Yeah.
The offensive line, he has to regularly move, shake off would-be sackers, and, hey, at least it was just 2 sacks today, or excuse me, on Sunday. So now, instead of being on pace to be sacked 60-plus times, David Carr-esque, he's only on pace to be sacked 55 times.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're making some progress here, but you're right. And they're not helping in the ground game either. And while the ground game, ultimately, at the end of the day, the stats don't look that bad. They had 100-plus yards. They're running for, I think, about 3.7 yards a carry. Still, I'm with you. It's an offensive line that has first-round pick at left tackle, who you traded 2 first-round picks to get, a first-round pick at left guard, second-round pick at center, right guard is the third-round pick, and at right tackle, it's a first-round pick. With Blake Fisher, a second-round pick on the bench, and just the starters, in total money, it's $188 million. Got to be better than this.
Yeah, and the box score, I just think, tells a different story about the running game than the truth. You watch that game, like, yeah, they rush for 100 yards, but it also, maybe it doesn't matter as much anymore in the NFL. I mean, right now you've got 12 running backs or quarterbacks in the NFL that average over 73 yards a game themselves. Like the running game, with the way these safeties are playing, that Mel Kiper wants to ban from playing too far back, we're seeing kind of a resurgence in the NFL this season with the running game across the league. And Cam Akers just was kind of hopeless, I thought, most of the game. A couple nice moments, but for the most part, it wasn't that. I'm not going to pin on the offensive line as much.
I don't know what he can do, though, behind him. You know, yeah. He made a couple of decent plays. The numbers at the end aren't that bad, but I mean, there are certain times where they run the ball, and I just wonder why. It's specifically the first down runs. I'm just going to tell you, here's the result of all the first down runs. 1 yard, 1 yard, 1 yard, 2 yards, 0 yards, 7, 2 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards, 0, 15, 0, 8, 6. So the first down runs until the very end were not good. And you can understand how the first down runs might be a little surprising at the end, especially when the Texans started driving the football down the field in, you know, as they went to ultimately score the go-ahead touchdown. You can see how maybe the defense is going to be a little bit more laxed against the run in a spot like that. But the first down runs are not working. And you want to hear something even more depressing? And I'm sorry, I'm just talking about the issues from this game that I think they need to work on because I want this team to be a Super Bowl caliber team. You want to hear what they've been doing in the second half offensively?
Oh, it's not good. I know that.
I'm going to give you an artistic rendition of what they've done in the second half of the last 3 games. Punt, 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 field goal, punt, fumble, punt, punt, touchdown, interception, turnover on downs, punt, 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 touchdown.
Was that one touchdown? Two touchdowns?
Two touchdowns, one field goal, 11 punts, 2 turnovers on downs, 1 interception, 1 fumble.
And that says to me something about Bobby Slowick. Like this whole, both these things, with the success of the run game, they keep trying it, and it failing over and over again. And he might even try to, you know, when he meets with the media on Thursday, be like, well, look at the end of the game. It started to work out.
As long as he doesn't pull a Doug Peterson, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Just do not blame the players for this. I mean, there's enough things going on here where between the $188 million invested into the offensive line and the struggles in the second half, and on top of that, just the inability to run the football that has been a consistent thing, that is why I'm looking at Slowick the most. I mean, even the offensive line, I feel like they will eventually get better. A lot of season to go. Preseason, they didn't even practice. I do think this team's going to continue to get better. But
so last year.
I wonder about the coach. Does the coach improve as the season goes along?
Well, because right now, it seems for 3 weeks in a row, he's getting his ass kicked at halftime. Yeah. Like, the other team is going in at halftime and making adjustments, and he doesn't know how to counterpunch. So the first half, I mean, is going great. I mean, when they were showing the stats on TV yesterday about when the Texans had over 200 yards, and at one point they had like 45 yards in the second half, like deep into the second half. It's like totally incompetent the offense was all of a sudden. So they don't have that answer, and it's not Tank being out. I mean, you have Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz. So even without Mixon and Tank Dell, like, you should be fine. You have enough talent on this team. You should be fine. You have CJ Stroud as your quarterback. But they're just, whatever's going on in the second half, they're not adjusting well enough to it.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. I know, we've been rather negative. They are 3-1, 2-0 in the AFC South. Jaguars are dead, and they have, right now, the second-best record in the AFC. Now they got to play Buffalo on Sunday. I think this is their first big boy test of the year. I know some people will point at Minnesota being 4-0. We didn't think that going into the game, even though I said Minnesota's better than you expected. Sam Darnold, my God, he's like an MVP candidate right now. It's insane. But Sunday, they're going to have to clean a lot of this stuff up. I want to talk about the Astros. We finally know who they're playing. It's the Detroit Tigers. What's their deal? Do you know what they're calling them? I don't know if I hate this or love this. The Detroit Tigers are calling themselves something very interesting. You'll hear what it is next. Stick around, Gallant and George.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
I saw the Houston packet on my desk from the advance, so we'll start to study now. I mean, baseball, I tell you, it's gonna take you places, and sometimes it's going to take you places where you've been. So I look forward to the challenge. We'll be there soon.
Tigers manager, former Astros manager A.J. Hinch, talking about the wild card series where his Tigers, the hottest team in baseball since August 10th, will play your Houston Astros, the best team in baseball since June 1st.
I don't know if I love it, but it's exciting. They were showing stats yesterday where, like, there's not a guy on the Tigers with more than 25 home runs or 25 stolen bases. I think they don't have a guy with 100 RBIs on the season. Like, it's just, it's wild that they're here.
A friend of mine, her husband works for the Tigers, and I was asking her questions about the team because she's a diehard baseball fan. And she was telling me, I think they have 12 rookies. 12? I mean, what? The active roster is what, 26? They have 12 rookies. Because they had all those sale jobs that they did the trade deadline, right? Uh-huh. And they had a 0.2 chance to make the playoffs. It is a really cool story. And I mean, even though I think we're all a little annoyed with AJ Hinch's decision making in the 2019 World Series, I'm happy for him. I'm happy he's getting this moment. I feel like he deserved it. I always liked him. Again, does it mean I think he was the best manager ever? No, I feel like he kind of got off scot free compared to Dusty Baker and Joe Espada at times. But what they have been doing down the stretch is incredible. But I'm not sure how I feel about this. You know what they are calling themselves?
I have no idea.
Okay. You guys ready for this? The Detroit Tigers are calling themselves the Gritty Kitties. The Gritty Kitties.
Oh, that's...
I mean, it's...
I guess
could be something else.
Like I think that's something that like we would come up with. And like if we came up with it,
I had something else in mind, but yeah. along the same vein. But
yeah, that'd be like the radio version of what we come up with. But like, and we would like be making fun of them at calling them the gritty kitties.
I mean, I am making fun of them. It's a tiger. A tiger is not a kitty. A tiger is the apex jungle cat. Okay, you can't call yourself a kitty and make me take you seriously.
They do get called the Motor City Kitties, though.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I guess it makes a little bit of sense.
I think the lions also catch that, too, because they're both cat-based animals.
That's true.
Makes sense.
City of Catmen.
Hmm.
Solidarity.
I don't...
The lions are the gritty kitties.
I mean, yeah, but this team,
they overcame a lot.
I guess they are. It's like they grew into the gritty kitties.
Yeah.
You know?
They
earned the moniker of the gritty kitties.
A hardworking team for a hardworking city.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I'll tell you this.
It's going to make me feel a lot worse if the Astros lose this series to the gritty kitties.
Meow.
Like, by the way, I loved the a side note here. I liked your post.
Oh, yeah. For those who don't know, my magazine photo shoot with my cat, Aria, it is up on my Twitter. You can find it with the Houston Pet Talk magazine. Buy a copy and laugh.
Pin it to the top.
My interview, I'm so glad that they kept everything in because I've said a lot of things I did not think that they would actually put in the magazine.
Should we get a blown-up version for the studio?
I will leave that for others to decide.
We replace one of the posters out there.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it would be funny to have in the hallway. 100%. It's because I didn't love the picture, but my cat was so damn uncooperative. But anyway, to bring it back to the Astros and Tigers.
The gritty kitties.
The gritty kitties.
Aria, not gritty kitty.
No, Aria's a prissy bitch. But I love her. She's so sweet to me. She's just an absolute a-hole to everybody else. So I did some research. It's the playoffs. I'll pay attention to baseball for the playoffs. Was awesome to have that game canceled yesterday. Oh,
that was such last day of school vibes for everyone involved. Yeah. Of like, listen, do we have to do this?
Right. I feel bad for the Twitch because they love September baseball so much. Like losing just a critical game on a Sunday that they could have watched instead of football, which they bitch and moan about all the time. Like, I'm sorry they lost that super important game. And it is kind of annoying that the Astros played less than 162 games because, you know, they finished the year with 88 wins. It would have been nice to get 89 or 90. Yeah.
The over-under was 92.5, so it didn't matter.
Okay. So for me, I
would have been so upset if they're at 92 wins and we needed that one.
Would they push it if they canceled the game?
That's a great question. I don't know what they would have done. I bet you some sportsbooks would do refunds.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just a pen.
But I did some research. Obviously, Tariq Skubal's their best player. He is the American League Triple Crown winner for wins, ERA, and strikeouts. He's going to start tomorrow afternoon's game, 1:30, and the Tigers are 21-10 on days that he pitches. Other things I learned about the Tigers, apparently they, despite having a pretty crap offense, bottom 10 in team OPS, 19th in runs a game, they're slightly better against righties. So I think this does make it a little bit easier as far as decision making. You're definitely using Fromber and Yusei Kikuchi. Mm-hmm. I think it does beg an interesting question. Do you want to go with your two lefties right away if they're slightly better against righties? Do you want Kikuchi to be the second guy out there instead of Hunter Brown? We'll see. I don't think a decision has been made on that to this point. After that, I mean, I truly don't know how they're doing this. I know that they have the best ERA in baseball since August 1st. Parker Meadows, a center fielder, is hitting .291 since coming off of the injured list. He's making web gems everywhere. And Spencer Torkelson, who had 30 home runs last year, but they sent down to AAA in the middle of this year, since he's come back up to the majors, has been good. Yeah, that's really all I got on the Detroit Tigers. You're welcome for the homework. I finally did some.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that, like, he's, you know, top prospect, came up and was just terrible. I think he got sent down last year, too, even in that. Or he started at the minors and they brought him up. He was terrible. If you look at, like, batting average, he just hit a lot of home runs. He's supposed to be, like, one of their best players. I mean, this is a good baseball team. I mean, it's why I wanted the Royals, because they're just going in the opposite direction of the way the season was going, where the Royals were falling apart and the Tigers are red hot. And in game one, you got Skubal on the mound, where he just kind of cancels out the advantage that Fromber gives you. Fromber's excellent. Fromber's been incredible this year. Every good stat Skubal has, Fromber can pretty much match since he put his dreads back on. But it kind of wipes out that first game, and it feels like it's going to be a game of chance, of one hit maybe, is the game changer.
I look at it from this perspective. Fromber has to be as level-headed as he's been for much of this year. All it is going to take to give these gritty kitties a little bit of confidence is one bad inning. That's all it's going to take. I am not taking this red-hot team lightly. I do think that their offense is severely lacking, but considering the Astros swing at effing everything, Tarik Skubal is probably going to give them some issues, much like the Seattle Mariners give them issues. And if their team ERA is the best in baseball the last couple of months, begs to say, hey, let's be a little bit more choosy at the plate. Just a thought. But Fromber cannot have any moments of weakness. He's got to stay focused. Because last year in the postseason, it was bad. And it was a couple of times last year. He's been so much better. That is my biggest fear. Because if the Tigers win game one, like, there's a chance that they pull this off. I think if the Astros win game one, it is done.
I mean, plus it's just a 3-game series. It's just such a
such
a crapshoot. Like, you just don't know. I mean,
it's so hard to prognosticate, like, 3-game series. Like,
yeah, my inclination is whoever wins game one wins the series, because they're going to win one more game. Like, that's all you got to do. The other team has to win 2 games. So it's just the odds are just so much in the favor of whoever wins this first game. And you're right. Like, Fromber has to be the guy that everyone expects him to be. He is the guy that we ignore the most when we talk about contracts. We talk about Tucker and we talk about Bregman.
Yeah.
Fromber's up the same year as Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if Fromber wants to get that, you know, $30 million a year salary,
trade him.
Man, you know what? You know what, Paul?
I'm kidding.
You know what, Paul?
What?
Let's save that take for Wednesday. Let's see
how it goes.
Let's see what happens on tomorrow's game. All right, we've only got an hour on Wednesday or whatever it's going to be. So let's see how it goes.
So we got. By the way, we are going to be carrying Astros and Tigers.
I was about to bring up how I kind of think it works against the Astros to have home field advantage on 1:30 on a work week.
I can't wait to see
I don't know what Minute Maid Park's going to look like.
I don't either. I'm very curious.
Especially in a series that most Astros fans probably doesn't know exists.
It's an unbecoming series.
Yeah, it's like, wait, what? A 3-game series? Wait,
not just in? Huh?
It's like,
is this high school baseball?
Will there be a bunch of Astros fans that show up Thursday no matter what, thinking it's a 5-game series?
I think it's possible.
Like, they win,
and I wouldn't hate. I'm not going to hate on that. I like being completely oblivious to whatever this stupid round is.
What the hell is this mini golf ass series that we're having to play?
It's exactly what it is. I hate that they're in this round. And I mean, hopefully the Astros take care of business. I do not think this is a lock, but that's where it all starts. Fromber has just got to be calm. Say a ball is just rolling towards him. And there's plays to be made on the diamond.
That's the one, man.
Just throw it to first, okay?
Calmly.
Just plant your feet, turn, plant your feet, throw it to first.
No jump throws.
Yes.
You're not impersonating Derek Jeter in your backyard, okay? just chill. Chill.
Did he just take his Xanax before the game?
we had someone comment on YouTube, Michael H20, have Fromber's therapist in the dugout. Yeah, for sure. Maybe hire another one.
just have him on standby.
It's been good this year. It has.
It has been good. He's been electric this year. If he didn't have the slow start, he would have an argument to be the Cy Young winner this year. Like it, he very easily could finish top five this year with what he's accomplished. But you need him to step up in a huge way with Scooble on the mound, who's going to win the Cy Young in the American League. Also, you know what else I learned this weekend?
What?
Just scroll perusing through TikTok.
Perusing.
Maybe the reason why you say Kikuchi has turned his career around. He used to be addicted to coffee. He said he would drink 5 to 6 cups of coffee a day. And I just saw this random, it just popped up.
What's wrong with that?
From Julia Morales. Apparently, he drinks decaf coffee now.
Huh.
So, like, maybe the sleep pattern and all these things that we learned about Kikuchi, maybe now he's just drinking decaf. That's why he's sleeping better and just. It's been so much better.
The sleep with the coffee habit is such an insane thing.
There's no way he was sleeping 12 to 14 hours a day and drinking 5 to 6 cups of coffee.
Mm.
That's not
the way you guys are talking about this. Is like, I need to take this on.
You know what's in my backpack right now?
What?
Because the coffee takes so long to make here.
What?
I started bringing K-cups.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that makes sense.
So that way I don't have to wait forever. Or lukewarm coffee. So when I'm,
I like the I
1 o'clock here.
I'm such a coffee addict. I will drink lukewarm coffee that's 4 days old, and I do not give a flying bleep about it. Even though there's probably all sorts of like little growths in there and stuff.
It's
rocket fuel. I don't care.
I feel like there's a day.
So I'm filling it up with 87.
I mean,
what do you want from me?
I get the lukewarm coffee.
No. Just leave it out there. You know,
you'll get to it eventually.
You would have been a great 70s detective. Just drinking the worst coffee. Paul Gallant,
Private Eye. I was going into the cafeteria room and saw a couple of days old coffee. I pulled out a cigarette, a Lucky Strike, and I had myself another sip of it, the 7th cup of the day. The Jenkins case was really getting to me.
All right, I'll stop. Let's go on to George. He is Joe. I'm Paul. Let's just cruise through. AJ Hinch is the manager of the Detroit Tigers. We heard more from Hinch. Hinch brought up this. The idea of experience in this series, given that the Tigers have very little at the major league level, period.
This year, I don't think it matters at all because I love. I mean, why would I say experience matters if we don't have a ton of it? You know, we the only way to get experience is get there, and we made the playoffs, and we're about to have a room full of guys that have experience. So right now, I'm going to downplay it. In 3 days, I'm going to tell you after we play our first playoff game, I'm going to tell you we're experienced enough.
How much does it matter? I think it matters a great deal.
I think it does.
Yeah, I mean, the Astros, the amount of experience the Astros have is effing insane. Even though a lot of guys have left, and not, you know, there's only two guys that have been here the entire run, but three, my bad. But it's incredible. I forgot about Verlander. Verlander.
Well, if you're going to do that, four, Lance McCullers.
Two guys that aren't pitching.
I mean, hey, you know what? Lance McCullers and Justin Verlander are going to pitch the same amount of innings in this postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. So it's two guys with that much experience. But I don't even know if the Tigers have – do they have guys that have played in the playoffs before?
I was going to say, like, Jeremy Pena probably has more experience than anyone on the Tigers. I think that it's not as simple as just, like, add up how many postseason games you have and, you know, going into a series if it's more evenly – met. Like, if they play, like, the Yankees or something, like – that I don't think they're going to win because they're more experienced. But I think there is something where it's like these guys have literally zero experience.
Does AJ balance that out, though, at all as the manager? I know managers football coaches.
A lot of experience in 2019 of the World Series.
Yeah, he's got 2017, though.
He's also got 2015 against the Royals.
Yeah, choke artist.
People forget about that one.
It's true.
Will Harris.
People do forget about that one.
Will Harris, my God. Vlad Harris eventually got a World Series, but ooh.
I'm not.
Will Harris. Will Harris had some rough moments in the playoffs.
Yeah, not great.
Because he had one in 2019. He had some issues in 19, right?
It was 18.
18.
And
that
then
was
he
it.
Went to pitch for the Nationals in 19.
I thought he went with them in 17. Was he not on the team in 17?
Wasn't he? I don't remember.
You know what? Great question. See, that's what happens when you win so much.
AJ Harris in a second.
We're talking about all this, winning experience that the Astros have. Astros fans, you just forget about who's been on the team, you know?
So is it going to be a dead crowd tomorrow?
Well, just based off the way that it was for the Twins last year, yes.
because they're spoiled.
It's also a 1:30 game. I'm not going to blame them for this one.
Oh, yeah. No.
But I think it's going to be rather dead. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Astros fans are just, they're rightfully spoiled.
They were there for the Rangers series, but they were, I thought, very, very, very wine and cheese crowd against the Twins. And it happens. I'm a part of a fan base growing up that the exact same thing happened. The Gillette Stadium used to be loud. It stopped being loud like 10 years ago. More on the Astros. Yordan Alvarez is the big question, and I feel like whatever update we get on Yordan today is going to be the big one. He is supposed to take batting practice at some point today. Per Joe Espada, the swelling has subsided. Love it when the Astros weigh in on injuries. They sound so qualified. Espada added, quote, "I don't want to be getting too excited because we still have some hurdles to get over." Alvarez is wearing a brace. On Friday, Espada said there are still some boxes he has to check for the Astros to feel comfortable putting him on a postseason roster. The first of those things is doing baseball activities. Joe's face right now.
I guess I missed that one yesterday during all the football.
So that was Friday. That one was Friday. Okay, okay. Yesterday he said, "I don't want to be getting too excited because we still have some hurdles to get over."
Well, hopefully, I mean, we'll see in, look at the schedule here. In about 7 minutes from now, Joe Spada will meet with the media. So, and I'm assuming that's going to be the first question asked of him.
Yes.
Of what is the status of Yordan Alvarez.
Can't wait.
Hopefully in the next 10 minutes we will have a very positive update on Yordan. I mean, even if he can just DH and he has to be a station-to-station guy, like that's something. You obviously don't want him to get hurt when you think about the grand scheme of your goals of winning a World Series this year. And Jason Hayward's had some nice moments, but it just – even just the threat of Yordan Alvarez in the lineup is so different. Being able to have him and Tucker back-to-back. Like, I don't think – this is not a they win if he's in, they lose if he's out. But I just – it makes you, like, way more nervous if he's out.
If Yordan plays, they win. If Yordan doesn't play, that's how the Tigers win. That's how the door opens. It opens a crack starting there. I still think offensively, just based off of the very little I know about the Tigers, but – taking a look at their stats and talking to some folks that are more in tune with them, they can't hit. They really struggle to hit, but they've got great pitching. It does feel like maybe a slightly better version of the Mariners lineup with less star power with a Julio Rodriguez or a Cal Raleigh. So we'll see what happens. He is Joe. I am Paul. It is Gallant and George. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. Houston Texans are 3-1. After a 24-20 win over the Jaguars yesterday. It was a sus win, but a win is a win. A question. I love questions like this. Did the Texans win or did the Jaguars lose? Huh? Scalana George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Stay put.
This is ESPN 97.5.